in addition, you are also a researcher at Policy Horizons Canada.
Right.
This is where you had experience conducting strategic foresight exercises on the future of state, non-state, and cyber conflict, along with power and international relations.
Right.
What would you say were some of the most rewarding aspects, along with challenges faced, associated with the work that you did as a researcher for Policy Horizons Canada?
It's interesting to work as an academic in the public service. And I was fortunate in the sense that I spent about a year in the federal government, and I was recruited through the Recruitment of Policy Leaders program, which is a federal program which is unique in Canada, and it's very attractive to people like us who have years of experience after graduating. And so they take that into account. It's a very rigorous process. But anyways, so I was lucky enough to get placed in Policy Horizons Canada, which, as you said, is the federal government's strategic foresight lab. And so what that means is that they effectively have blue sky thinking, is what they call it. They're allowed to think and project well into the future, 15, 20 years out from today, and explore the social, political, security, environmental, economic, etc., those implications and environments that might occur in that time frame, 15 to 20 years, and then to try to situate Canada and Canadian policy into that environment. And they do that through this process, the methodology of strategic foresight. And they do that, again, in-house within Ottawa in the government, but also in partnership with other foresight units in other federal governments in Singapore, in South Korea, in France, in the UK, the US, and so on. And so there's a small community globally that looks at strategic foresight, and it's a popular process of extrapolating from current trends, thinking creatively about situations, technology, and so on. So I found that very enlightening to work there, and it's kind of atypical for federal public servants to have that kind of freedom, devoid even or separate from the immediate policy cycle. And I've since leaving Horizons and joining NIPSIA, I now teach a course at NIPSIA on strategic foresight in international security, and have built ties with Horizons through the co-op program. So some of my students go there to use what I've taught them in practice. So there's a small community in Ottawa doing strategic foresight. I'm part of that. And I think it's a really fun way of exploring situations. And it doesn't have to be security. So at Horizons, there was a node on economics and economic issues. There was a separate node on environment and energy questions. Mine was on geostrategy and security, and so on. So, you know, there was a really nice incubator of knowledge there. I think it's a very valuable process for government to think about, to reserve a small unit, like we were, about 25, to reserve that space for long-term thinking, and then to use those lessons in government planning moving ahead.
With that being said, where do you see the future of cyber conflict, let's say 5 years from now, as time progresses? Are our strategies strong enough to fight this issue globally?
I think there's a couple of things changing. So the first is there's a realization among states that cyber threats can have deep effects and deep impacts. And so we've seen recent movement in the U.S. and in China to find collaborative agreements bilaterally that I think will then go multilaterally to kind of stake out the ground of what is okay and what is not okay within cyberspace, and then also to further highlight the kind of responses that we might expect as a result of cyber attacks. So we're seeing that a little bit in the U.S. court cases against North Korean and Chinese patriots, for instance. So I think there's an evolution going on there, of course. I think Canada's probably a little bit behind, but the new government has promised that they're going to do a cyber security or cyber policy strategy review. So that's ongoing. And then I think there's also some movement within different organizations to use what's called white hat hackers to kind of fix the bugs that they find online. So that's a cultural shift. What it means is that, like, the Pentagon, for instance, has a competition amongst hackers that allows those individuals to purposefully hack Pentagon systems free of the consequences of the law, and then inform the Pentagon about where it's where they found weaknesses on cyberspace, and the Pentagon then uses that to fix the holes. That's a unique cultural change for that organization, I think, and I think we could expect to see that elsewhere.
The McKinsey Institute organized Canada's Defense Perspectives 2020 to 2050, Recapitalization and the Canadian Forces. This conference was done in partnership with the NATO Association of Canada and the Department of National Defense. You were one of the key speakers of the third panel. This panel focused on advanced technology, new domains, and the future of warfare. Please discuss the significance and the impact of this conference overall.
Great. You're right, and that's where we met, actually, right?
Yes, so, that's exactly where we met.
First of all, conferences like that are a great networking opportunity. So it brings young people together, it brings older people with experience in government and in policymaking. So they're always good. Those kind of conferences that McKinsey Institute and others organize in Ottawa and elsewhere have immediate and immense value. And I tell my students, if they can afford it and if they have the time, they should go to one or two of those events downtown in Ottawa. So I very much appreciated being invited. Generally, I think what McKinsey Institute was trying to do was to try to explore questions that were specifically relevant to D&D and Canadian military, Canadian forces. And so we talked a lot about procurement and the issues of recruitment and retention within the military and training and leadership and alliances, all those very important questions. And you're right that our panel was kind of unique in the sense that what we were trying to do is to try to push the context and understanding of security out into the future. I think we pushed it into 2030, 2040. And so what I tried to do was to use some of the strategic foresight methodology to try to ask some large questions about technology and changes in terms of AI or drones and robotics, and to try to explore how those processes might evolve into the future and how Canada might have to think about inserting its military into those environments. And I was joined, of course, by two very famous people, including Lieutenant General Mike Day, who had an exemplary career in the Special Forces in Canada at the commanding level, and by Dr. Andrew Johnson, who's a materials scientist and a director at the National Research Council here in Ottawa. And so what both of those scholars did, Mike pushed it out into the realm of conflict and tried to explore what we mean by conflict and war. And Dr. Johnson, he really explored the technological ramifications of nanotechnology on procurement issues and on military issues. And so I think together, the three of us tried to explore what Canada might need to think about today when we're thinking about recruitment, when we're thinking about procurement, when we're thinking about the kinds of situations that we might send our military personnel into in 2030, 2040. And I think that is a very valuable process of thinking, because a lot of these issues, as you know, training, leadership, procurement, they are inherently forward-looking. We're trying to think about what the best military platforms might be for conflict in 2030, 2040, 2050. And to do that, we need some strategic thinking, we need some foresighting, we need to think about a larger trend. And so that's what the panel did, and I think that's what the conference did in general. And I would urge you and the McKinsey Institute to do that some more.
We always enjoy partnering with the McKinsey Institute. I want to say that as the program editor of Global Horizons, I was provided with many opportunities to network with individuals who are experts such as yourself in this area. So I'm very thankful to the McKinsey Institute and to the NATO Association of Canada for working closely together on this conference. And I think that it was a great conference overall, and I highly recommend a lot of the students who are in Ottawa to look into future conferences that the McKinsey Institute organizes. I mean, this is such a relevant topic, and I certainly do believe that the McKinsey Institute will put on more conferences similar to this one. Overall, for those who are listening to this podcast today, are there any additional words of advice that you'd like to provide to the youth who are perhaps interested in this topic and are interested in engaging more in various conferences that are happening throughout Ottawa and the surrounding area?
Canada thrives when we have a community of interested people exploring issues of national and military and defense security. And I think young people are inherently important to that community. There's an ecosystem that we need. And I think what you're doing, what we're doing in academia, what the government and different organizations are doing, we're building a network, a community, an ecosystem, again, for thinking about these issues. So there are a few questions in my mind that are more important in terms of how Canadians think and perceive of their self and of their security moving forward. So I would urge young people to find the passionate questions that they have in national security, to link up with the different communities in the NGO, in the academics, or in the public and private sector that are doing that kind of research and question, and to then, you know, basically find communities of interest and conferences online, and to reach out. It costs nothing to send an email out, like you did to me, and say, hey, can we have a chat? I mean, that costs nothing, and all you risk is a no. And if you risk, you know, so, and again, and most people in my position are happy to talk about this, are happy to offer advice. So I have, you know, I have office hours regularly. People can come in and ask me about career options and trajectories and so on. So I think it's just a matter of being open-minded about things, about being eager to engage with questions and communities, and to pursue your passions.
Certainly. Dr. Wilner, I want to thank you again for doing this interview. I'm very thankful to the Mackenzie Institute because thanks to this conference, I was provided with an opportunity to meet with you. I enjoyed the points that you made, and I enjoyed the conference overall. Are there any final words that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Keep up the good work.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.